Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And today, we're in a hotel.
In my room, which sounds really strange.
The salmon sofa we have left behind. Yeah, we're gearing up for our mate Chris from RE's 40th birthday. So we've taken the podcast on the road and here we are in a Premier Inn.
And I can't believe he's 40. I thought he was older than that.
I'm sure he'll be chuffed to hear that.
He'll have listened to this, if he does want to listen to this, after we've seen him tonight.
Yeah, so we'll get away with it.
Yeah. No. Only joking, I thought he was a lot younger than that.
he's 40 years old, so we're having a birthday bash, aren't we?
Looking forward to it. But I think if it was a few of his friends that fit his stuff, I think Jack and Boris possibly are there.
I don't know. The only other person I know who's going is Dan Dew from Demand and Laura.
Oh, okay.
Not sure about anyone else, but we'll see.
But an element of surprise.
There will be an element of surprise.
Whole evening drinking beer and talking about Land Rovers.
What more could you want?
sounds brilliant.
God help any of his mates who've come who aren't into Land Rovers, because they are...
They soon will be.
Well, yeah.
We'll influence some of them to buy some.
Whether they like it or not, they will have it forced upon them. So, yeah, a bit of a different one. Hopefully the sound comes across okay. So we've got our mobile recording gear on the go today, which, as Matt Allcroft will have seen last week, I think people assume the professionalism level of our podcast is far higher than it actually is.
Yeah, let's call this grassroots podcast.
Grassroots, I like that. Yeah, that's better than unprofessional.
Grassroots. It's basic.
Yeah.
But it works.
It does work, yeah. Mm. And it is what it is, isn't it? We're just two normal blokes who like Land Rovers.
Well, I don't know about normal, but anyway, speaks.
Well, quite. But so the hot news at the moment, obviously, well, it was a little while ago now, because unfortunately it all came about the day before our last podcast was released. Jerry McGovern, no longer with JLR.
Massive news, really.
Huge news. Obviously, the history that Jerry has with the business, Land Rover especially, absolutely enormous. The designs that he's put forward onto various models throughout the range, you know, like or hate the bloke, you can't deny the influence and the work that he's put into what Land Rover's been selling over the decades, and you know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting and say, had they not recruited Jerry McGovern, what would Land Rover look like today? Would it still be here as a company?
Well, this is it.
You know, arguably some of his designs have probably saved.
Well, Freelander One.
The
first one that comes to mind, back in 97 when it was launched, Freelander One was, you know, came from Jerry McGovern's pen with the black plastic wraparound bumpers that were designed to ward off scratches and stuff like that, the funky three-door body style.
Yeah, no, and I mean, such a timeless design. They're still on the road today and they still look quite fresh, I think.
I mean,
they don't look fresh, they don't look ultra fresh, but they still look
Their time, but they're instantly recognisable, which is more than you can say for a lot of what its competitors would have been back in the day, like Honda CRV and stuff like that.
Mm.
The Freelander One is really distinctive, which is important.
Especially now, like soft top guys, when it was three door, it gave that kind of leisure approach, didn't it? Kind of like cool and a younger.
Yeah, that was the idea.
Farm like and.
Like young professionals, young go getters who wanted to have a car they could take surfing and mountain biking and all that, like outdoor pursuits.
Yeah.
The marketing from that era was absolutely awesome. Like the brochures and that, I can picture now, like a turquoise three door with the weird cladding on the side splashing through this water with
the three spoke
vehicles.
Back then my mum and her husband at the time, we're talking what, 98?
Yeah, so it was launched in 97, but most of them in
98. They had one. They had one of the early ones.
Really?
Three-door, yeah. I used to drive it around, 1800K series.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously it's a bit of a faff taking the... There was like the hard top, you know, the soft top bit that you take off and then you could have the soft top bit. Bit of a faff, but really quite cool. You should drive it around Stevenage. Because that was fast compared to what I had at the time was like naturally aspirated diesel 90. Can you imagine the difference?
Well, everyone would... obviously the 1.8K series wasn't without its problems, but... Everyone would sort of say, I'm a bit underpowered for a for a 4x4, but I remember them being quite nippy.
And I thought they were good. I thought they were good.
They weren't bad at all. And I mean, you either chose between that or the diesel, the L series diesel, which was like an old, really quite agricultural, brilliant engine. But when the BMW TD4 came in, that was the jewel in the crown of the Freelander, really. And yeah, it was an incredibly popular vehicle. Incredibly.
Although I remember, like, when it was launched, everybody in the magazines, and we didn't have like social media back then, but everyone would be talking about it, going, it's like awful because it was against the grain.
Well, so this
wasn't a proper Land Rover, a bit like the new Defender is now, not a proper Land Rover in some people's eyes, not mine, obviously, but. And he's been responsible for all of those designs.
Well, that's the same with whenever anything new comes out. Like when we spoke, like I said, with Matt last week, when TD5 came out, people spat their flat beer out because it had an ECU and stuff like that. You get that. That's progression. People don't like progression. Then they warm to it. Freelander 1 was obviously the first Land Rover to come out with independent suspension and without a low range gearbox. So there was going to be trepidation about it.
But it had hill descent control.
Some did, yeah. It was optional.
The one not, yeah.
But awesome car. But really, I mean, when you look at other vehicles of that era and how many are still about, and you look at how many Freelander 1s are still on the road.
Yeah, quite a lot.
Loads. Yeah. And actually, incredibly capable off-road for what they are. If you take into account the fact they don't have low range and you take into account that they haven't got tons of ground clearance, like grip wise and the four-wheel drive system with the viscous coupling in low grip situations, they'd outdo B-Maxled Land Rovers.
They're brilliant things.
I mean, I've like when I was on LRO, we had a, that was an early, it was an R-Reg, so 98, that they prepared for rallying. We did a couple of rounds of Freelander Challenge in it. They're essentially standard cars with roll cage and underbody protection. That was a K-Series. The abuse that took. You could drive it third gear on the limiter all day around Welsh forests. We did one round of the Freelander Challenge at Kerry Forest. We weren't competitive. Neil was co-driver. I was driving. I'm not a race driver. I did my best, but just the punishment it took up it. And we had a trailer. We trailered it there, and we thought, you know, we're going to have to trail it. I drove it back. We competed in it all weekend and I drove it home. Awesome car.
Yeah, yeah.
The K-Series was tired, though. I think she was a bit down on compression by that point. It was lacking power somewhat. But I really like Freelander ones. I think the early ones, especially with the plastic bumpers.
So we'll put his design of the Freelander 1 down as a hit.
I think so.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. Either from Land Rover, he left, basically. He went over to Ford and Lincoln.
Well, he left. Did he? He left Land Rover after the Freelander, then came back.
Yeah, he wasn't away for long. When he came back,
I didn't know that. No, that's interesting.
He did a bit in America, and then he came back, and he was then.
Was this pre-mullet or post-mullet?
See, now this is it. I don't have. I have done a bit of research. I don't have a chronological timeline of his hairstyles. I wish I did.
I mean, if he had that mullet now, is he back in fashion?
Does he still have it?
No.
The frizzy dude.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure. But anyway.
Pre or post mullet era.
He was then basically tasked with Discovery 4, which, as we know, was a heavily revised Discovery 3. Land Rover made all sorts of song and dance about it, only sharing X number of components. But the shell, shall we say, and the chassis to a degree, kind of similar. But he was.
So it's kind of the. The Discovery 4 was almost just a refreshed Discovery 3.
Mechanically, and the interior changed a lot, but body-wise, bumpers, lights were different. Bonnet, I think, was different. But the bones of it, obviously, if you put the two next to each other, it's not hard to see that they're pretty much the same car to look at.
Yeah.
But I think he did a good job on Disco 4. I don't think there's an iteration of that from 2000, late 2009 all the way through to when they stopped production where I wouldn't have one. I think they
looked pretty good. And they have... absolutely, design-wise, stood the test of time, in my belief. Yeah.
Still look.
I think they'll look just as current in another 10, 20 years' time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that square, proper, traditional-shaped Land Rover.
Exactly. So, now, bone of contention here. A lot of people say Jerry McGovern designed the Evoque. He didn't. Everyone knows Victoria Beckham designed the Evoque.
Oh, of course she did, yeah.
that well-known car designer.
She come off stage with the Spice Girls, and then
she said, "You know what? Listen, everyone, I've got to go. Right, JL, I need a car designing. I've got things to do."
Yes,
she dusted off her pack of biros,
and I think she did an all right job.
She got cracking.
Yeah, she did. She did a very good job, I think.
No, I'm joking.
I know.
Julian Thompson that designed the Range Rover Evoque.
Didn't she design the interior trim? Or choose the fabric for the seats?
There was some involvement, wasn't there? That Land Rover thought it would be good to have her name on it. So she got... I PDI'd a Victoria Beckham edition Evoque, very rare car. Okay. There was something like 60,000 quid new, and the clock and the gear selector dial had Diamante on it.
Right,
And it was like a satin grey paint. It was a weird thing. I should think they're quite rare now.
I've never seen one.
Yeah, there you go. See if there's any on eBay. But following that, L405 Range Rover was the next one he designed. We were talking about this last week because I prefer the look of the L322. L405 was a lot more...
This is where it starts to sort of take a turn to...
Everything looking the same.
Yeah. So I used to pride myself on being able to identify most new cars, whether it be Land Rover or anything else, even by the exhaust notes. Now, I couldn't basically give a stuff. I don't care what... I don't recognise things coming towards
me. No, if you lined up the entire range in a row, including, all of them, the only one from a distance, from a reasonable distance, you'd be able to pick out from the entire lineup is probably Defender, because it looks so... vastly different.
I think he did a good job of that.
Yes.
Although lots of people would say he didn't.
No, well, this is the thing, because at a certain point, I don't know when, he went from being designer to head of creative, which means other people designed things and put ideas forward. And he oversaw it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not saying he got credit for stuff he didn't do, but what I am saying is other people's...
It wasn't just him sitting there drawing.
No.
Of course it wasn't. No.
But L405, again, he did it. And then, of course, his the new Defender, which we've already touched on. I think it's fair to say, yes, it divided opinion when it came out, and there's still people who don't like it now, but it was a very different style. I'm not sure how much I buy into it harking back at the original Defenders.
Defender by name.
The Alpine lights, a kind of a token gesture, and the sort of shape of the wheel arch is, but not really.
Keep saying it should be Discovery 6.
Yeah.
Because the Discovery 5 looks so different to 4. I can't forgive him for the rear number plate in the Discovery 5.
I saw a hilarious...
I literally can't.
I think Ian sent it to me. Our pal Ian Arthur sent me a hilarious picture of someone who commented on one of the posts about Jerry leaving. And it was a picture. It was like a headshot of him, but one of his eyes had been moved over to the middle of his head. So it looked like the Discovery 5 at the back. He had like two eyes real close together, then nothing.
Oh, God. AI's been like, it's just ridiculous.
I'll try and find it. But so again, we don't. The other thing to, stress at this point is we don't know the circumstances of him leaving. There's a lot of speculation about
never know.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specializes in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value, and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
We may never know. I'd like to think we would at some point, but there's a lot of people saying a lot of things on the internet. And until JLR release a statement, which they might not do, and if they do, you've got to not take it with a pinch of salt, but they're a company at the end of the day. They're a business. Mm. They've got to safeguard whatever they're doing. We don't know the extent of it. We do know from friends in the industry that he could be difficult to work with and potentially not that nice a person. But
again, I've never met the man. I can't cast judgment really. And I've heard more negative than I have positive.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get to that that level, don't they, in their careers, and they become godlike figures and
a legend in their own lunchtime.
Yeah. And then it gets a bit kind of too much.
Yeah. So,
but who knows? Who knows?
Well, exactly. But
interestingly, though, because obviously he'd been, you know, with the 00 thing of getting back to Jaguar quickly.
Oh, you can't help yourself.
I can't help myself. But look at that, you know, and look at the direction. Jaguar haven't made a car for 3 years.
Yeah.
Or launched a car. Yeah, but they have made a car, but they haven't launched a car for 3 years, and it's just...
This is an interesting topic, actually, because a lot of... As we know at the moment, you can't move for Chinese EVs. You go out anywhere, you're seeing JQs, you're seeing whatever they're
called. BYDs?
BYDs and other millions of other stupid cars with stupid names that will be landfill in 10 years.
A bit like MG.
Why is it? Oh, yeah, they're Chinese now.
It's a Chinese.
The difference with MG is they actually have some background and some heritage. What all these EV manufacturers, like what the ones I've just mentioned and countless others, they have no back catalogue that people know about over here. If you, like Jaguar's it's got history coming out of its ears.
Absolutely has, yeah.
I think Renault 5, we're getting far too general now. We're straying from Land Rovers, but Renault absolutely smashed it out of the park with the Renault 5, the new Renault 5 EV. Everyone absolutely loves it. It's got
a couple of them, mate, and you can easily see that's a Renault 5.
It's got exactly DNA from the original. Mm. They've updated it. They've brought it into the 21st century. It's electric. Like it or hate it, that's what it is. I personally think they're brilliant. It's probably one of the few EVs I'd actually consider if I was looking for one. But Jaguar have taken all that heritage and that.
Yes.
Even if they just continued it with the styling, people would recognise it. And I know I've just said, the Alpine Lights in the new Defender are a little bit of a meh.
It's a nod. It's a nod to...
But exactly. They've acknowledged it and they've taken it forward and they've used it to their advantage. Jaguar.
They probably took it too far forward from what was the old Defender to the new one. I mean, that's kind of like chalk and cheese, those two.
But they haven't lost it.
No, they haven't.
Nothing about the Jaguar 00... is
remotely reminiscent
of anything they've done. And that's obviously very deliberate. Is it the right thing to do?
Probably a step too far.
It's certainly got people talking. I just don't know what will happen. I don't know. Mm. But anyway, the Jerry McGovern situation is, you'll hear more when we know more.
But with Jerry McGovern's sideline now, it probably gives other people chance to shine. Can you imagine if you were a designer and now your kind of boss has gone and you didn't like him, for example? I'm not saying that's the case, but say, for example, you didn't like him, he's now gone. You could probably thrive with design and go, yes, I've got an opportunity now to get my point across and launch or design what I want.
Potentially.
It might be a really exciting time for it.
There is speculation that sort of the reason that he has, there's been a big mix-up at Tata, obviously, who own Land Rover. Ratan Tata, I believe his name is, was a big fan of Jerry. He passed away recently. New blood has come in, taken over control.
Yes, yeah.
So it might just be that whoever's come in now, I'm trying to find his name, has gone, do you know what, I'm not a fan of you, off you pop. Found some reason to get him out of the place, and they've taken that opportunity and gone. I don't know. But no doubt, hopefully, we'll know more in the future. But yes, it's...
Well, we'll report back, won't we?
Absolutely. And
obviously, by the time we're governed by a weekly podcast, so the chances are if it's out, it'll be out long before we can get to...
Potentially, but we can still chat about it, and it'll be interesting to get the listeners' take on this situation. So if you've got an opinion, if you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, drop us an email and let us know, editorial@lrm.co.uk. And it will be interesting to compare that to what actually comes out, if anything, of the situation. So,
yeah.
That was like an actual serious bit of podcasting, that was.
Anyway, let's get back to joking around.
Shall we?
Last week, when we had Matt Allcroft in, Unpopular Opinions, was actually very popular.
Yes, it was good.
Yeah.
It was well received. People liked it. It was something he said was controversy drives engagement, which is true. So, we'll try and cheese people off more often, potentially. got a listener's email here, slightly not off topic, but not about what we've already been talking about. Hi, Stephen Martin. I've been listening to your amazing podcast and I'm thoroughly enjoying it while working on my Land Rover. We've just discovered we'll need to replace the bulkhead and I was wondering if you have any tips for me when I come to replace it. As per my prior email, any tips for maintenance or care would be great. Keep up the great work with the podcast and the magazine, Matt Hill. Replacing bulkhead.
Quite a big job.
It is quite a big job. My tips on that would be take as many photos as you can of where the wiring lays and keep all your little clips and bolts and screws in separate pots so you know where they all go. Take your time when you're aligning it. Other than that, it is just layers of... It's like an onion, a bulkhead, isn't it?
Yeah, but everything bolts to it, doesn't it? Crikey, that's a big job.
It's like the heart of the car, really. The chassis is a big piece, but the bulkhead is like so integrated. There's a lot of stuff.
See, it's not mentioned... He's replacing a bulkhead, but replacing it with what, another brand, a brand new one?
I think he is, yeah. It's a new...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think... I mean, I've made the decision with mine to go e-coated rather than galvanised because you get a better paint finish. And if you look after it, then that will last, you know, decades.
Well, it will do. This is the other thing, of course, is...
You don't need to galvanise something to make it last.
No, you could replace a standard steel chassis or bulkhead with another standard steel chassis or bulkhead and it would last 25-30 years at least if you sprayed paint over it. So it really depends on the quality of finish you're going for, and it, by the sounds of it, Matt's already sorted a bulkhead out. But I mean, it's just take your time, be methodical, put things in pots, take lots of pictures, and obviously when you get to the end of removing everything, you've then got to start with what you took off last and build back.
I have another top tip for him, actually.
Go on, then.
So if he goes on to Exact Editions that we have and subscribes to Exact Editions to receive Land Rover Monthly, we have the complete back catalogue of all of our technical articles and all the others, everything we've ever published from 2015. Go to the search bar on there, type in bulkhead replacement, and I can tell you now, Trevor Cuthbert's articles that he's done shows you there's like two-part series, I think it is. And it's all on there.
Yeah, that's actually a brilliant...
And because I've actually looked for myself the other day because I was looking for some top tips, because obviously I don't want to hunt through all the printed magazines. I can just go on there.
Yeah. For that, for back catalogue of tech stuff, it's searchable. It's so good.
Or if you do any bulkhead and you find that you need something else doing to it, put it into the search thing and it will probably find that, I don't know, rebuild your heater matrix will probably come up. And whatever you're doing, it will probably come up.
Yeah.
That's not a bad shout. There's my little plug there for Exact Editions.
No, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And Trevor Cuthbert's the man for the job. He's rebuilt more defenders than most people have had hot dinners. So he knows.
Certainly has.
Inside out.
Not as many. He's not rebuilt as many Land Rovers as I've had pies, but.
Well, I wasn't going to save him. Another reader's listener's email, Lee Baker, gets in touch. He says, "Hi, I've recently found your podcast and I've been enjoying listening to the great range of topics you discuss. One topic I've not come across yet is Freelander 2 seats.
Finding the right parts for your Land Rover or Range Rover shouldn't be an off-road challenge. At bmh4x4.com, we've built a smarter way to get you back on track. Our new website is now live, the simple, fast and reliable way to find the parts and accessories you need. Supplying quality parts for Defender 1983 to 2016, Discovery 1, 2, 3 and 4, Range Rover Sport 2005 to 2013, with Range Rover P38A and L322 coming soon. All parts are backed by expert knowledge, quick delivery and a 2-year quality guarantee. Visit bmh4x4.com, built by enthusiasts for enthusiasts."
Okay.
I find them fairly poor and uncomfortable compared to a lot of other brands, Volvo, etc. And wonder if you have had any experience or advice for improving or swapping them. I've got a 2014 Freelander 2, only a GS, so it's got the basic seats. Does anyone sell conversion kits, etc.? Cheers and thanks for the great content, Lee. Well, Lee, first of all, you're never going to get a seat as comfortable as a Volvo seat, okay? They are the comfiest thing on the planet. They are fantastic.
So you're telling him to sell his 302 and buy a Volvo XC90?
Volvo XC70 cross-country is possibly the pinnacle of vehicular comfort.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, they're great. But anyway, seats. I personally don't find them uncomfortable. I know there's a difference between the pre-facelift seats and the facelift seats. I've never had a problem.
No, I haven't.
Being a GS, I don't know if you'd have the adjustable lumbar like you do on a higher spec car, because that makes a huge difference. Potentially look at fitting seats from a SE or a HSE.
Yeah, see, when I was 302, it was an SE seat, so it kind of had leather, and that's what perforated leather.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a nice trim.
Yours got electrically adjustable seats.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is...
Yeah, memory seats and things like that.
You'll have to look at, Lee, is a lot of vehicles are built with a standard wiring harness, so if you look at under the carpet, under your seats, you may well find that the connectors are already there to fit electrically adjustable seats and heated seats. Don't quote me on that, because I've never actually looked in a low-spec Freelander, but a lot of the stuff, especially on earlier cars, all the wiring for the switches is already there. You just need to find them, plug them in, and you'll probably have to plug it into something like AutoLogic to modify the vehicle configuration file to tell it that it's got
electrics. It has those seats. Yeah.
That would be my first port of call, because obviously Freelander 2 seats are going to bolt into a Freelander 2. I have heard of people fitting Evoque seats to a Freelander 2, but you do have to modify some of the mounting brackets and things like that. It's important now that we say that modifying seats is not something to do if you're not sure what you're doing, because they're obviously safety critical. If you're in an accident or whatever and your insurer comes around or the police come around, if something really bad happens and they see that you've like stick welded a piece of flat bar to a seat rail to get it to fit properly, you're going to be in it deep.
Yeah, I would probably advise you didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start, you'd have to disclose that to your insurance company.
Yeah, of course.
As a modification.
Yeah.
And they probably would want the engineer's reports.
Potentially, yeah.
I would say look at a later 302, see if you can do it that way.
Yes, yeah. So,
or sell it and buy a Volvo XC70.
I have to say, oh, they're so comfy.
Welcome to the LRM XC90.
UK's podcast. Premier Volvo podcast. They are an exceptional car, though. If you just want a car, you're not fussed about going too far off-road. An XC70 cross-country. Oh, it's the stuff of dreams.
Anyway, back to Land Rovers.
Oh, yeah, isn't it? Have you bought Range Rover yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Matt Allcross put me off.
Well, Adam, our friend Adam Wormlayton, who we had on the podcast a couple of episodes ago, probably 3 or 4 episodes
ago. Yeah, he hasn't sent me any.
Has he not?
Not in the last 7 to 10 days, no.
He sent me a message and he said, great podcast, referring to last week's one. Just listen to it. On a train, Steve needs to get a wriggle on with his L322. I don't think an L405 is the way to go. He says he lost huge amounts of money on both of his. Both were unreliable and never again.
Okay.
There you go. And just he said you also should avoid the any TD6s because they're just slow and noisy, and I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah, we mentioned it last week about my mate James and his...
If you're going to do it, just get a V8 one.
Yeah. Silky smooth. You want all of that stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to dwell on L322s because we've kind of done them to death now.
Yeah.
But,
We did used to get feedback that we weren't talking about L322s. Now we're talking about them too much.
This is they're hot topics at the moment, aren't they? That's the thing. That is the thing.
I'm not saying I'm not going to get one, but I'm not... At the moment, but I haven't sold my Jag either.
So no, it's the wrong time of year.
It isn't. We're sitting in early December now.
It is indeed. It's coming up to Christmas.
And it's not really the time for buying or selling anything.
I quite agree. Well, unless you're selling Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Or buying mince pies.
Mm,
which we've already, again, dwelled on probably in far too much. detail. Ah, you'll be pleased to hear that we're being a terrible influence on people yet again.
Good.
Ben Edwards, he says, hi, Martin and Steve. Following on from the recent podcast talking about getting in trouble, having been prompted by the podcast to buy more Land Rovers, I'd also like to add in how dangerous your marketplace emails are.
So dangerous they are.
So this is obviously on landrovermonthly.co.uk. We have a marketplace section where tons of great Land Rovers get listed every week, along with parts. It's kind of different to your usual selling arena, such as eBay, Facebook Marketplace, Auto Trader, because the people who are selling them know about Land Rovers. They're enthusiastic about Land Rovers and they're realistic about Land Rovers, which means, as a buyer, you know what you're getting into. The person selling it knows the vehicle. It's actually a match made in heaven.
Yeah, we quite often get like an older gent phoning up to list his car. Then we then say, can you email it in? Because, or can you list it yourself? And basically get their granddaughters or nieces to list it or whatever. And then they get listed. And then these people aren't listing these anywhere else.
Exactly.
So yeah, they're sort of bespoke to us.
Quite often unique
to
our website, which is obviously great for people buying because you're not going to see them anywhere else. And to top that off, as Ben is hinting at, we send out a monthly email newsletter, highlighting. I pick out one that takes my eye and
the one that you would probably buy.
Exactly. And we do a bit of a deep dive into it, and we also link to other cars that have been listed recently. So apparently Ben has fallen prey to one of these emails. He goes on to say, yes, I'd like to also add the marketplace emails. Having already fallen into the trap last Christmas when I ended up buying a V8 Series 1, which was recently featured in the Work in Progress page of the magazine.
Nice, yeah.
Very, very cool. 2 weeks ago, he saw a Tiffinus 110 on the marketplace email. Although he didn't buy that one, he did go to look at it and he bought a different one. So now he's got three Land Rovers. Thanks in no small part to us.
Yeah. So basically, if anyone wants to get that email, just sign up.
Yeah, literally go on landrovermonthly.co.uk, hit the link, put your email in, and you'll get decent, relevant emails, if you're into Land Rovers, you will care about. We don't do spam here at LRM. We do actual stuff that people who like Land Rovers will want. So head over there, sign up. He finishes by saying, any good guides you can point me to step-by-step to adding power steering to a 2.5 NA 110, which is without doubt the Tiffinus 110 that he's just bought. It's actually pretty easy to add power steering.
While you're at it, stick a TDI in it, make it good.
Oof. Well,
make it better, not good.
I've fitted the TDI, but I've kept my manual power steering.
Yeah. I think you'll regret that.
We'll see. I like the simplicity. It's only ever going to be on 750 tyres as well, so it's pretty light.
Yeah, yours does steer quite well.
Yeah, it's fresh.
It is nice, yeah.
But to answer your question, Ben, first of all, I go to Exact Editions, as Steve said earlier, and just search for it because it's likely to be on there. Failing that, you will need power steering bracket and pump off an NA, as you've got, or a turbo diesel, and then the pipework and a power steering box, and there's not a lot more to it, to be honest. You sort of unbolt the old box, bolt the new one on, fit the pump to the engine and run the reservoir.
Yeah, fairly straightforward.
It's one of those jobs where once you're looking at it, it's pretty, you know, it's staring you in the face. It's fairly self-explanatory. Talking of engines, I had a go at my timing belt earlier on my 200 TDI, which will be appearing soon in Land Rover Monthly's tech section. But I was thwarted by my front crankshaft oil seal, which has, by the looks of it, given up quite some time ago.
Oh, right, okay.
It's now identified as a Ford wet belt because there was quite a lot of oil.
Oh, right.
So, but it's funny because when I got that engine and that gearbox, I looked at it and on TDI engines and earlier, you've got wading bungs, which you fit when you're driving through deep water. One goes in the timing case at the front of the engine, one goes in the bell housing at the back of the engine. But you generally shouldn't have them in when you're not wading.
No, that's what we spoke about this, haven't we? A few weeks ago.
I can't remember.
On the podcast, yeah.
It's all a blur.
So I had them I had them to put on mine if ever I went wading.
Yeah.
I did it once.
Did you fit them and then take them out again?
Yeah.
The problem is this engine had both of them fitted when I got the engine, which is...
So builds up pressure, doesn't it?
So pressure can't really enter and leave. It's better to not have them in. But had the one in the timing case not been fitted, the previous owner of the engine would have seen engine oil dripping out the bottom of it because the front crankshaft seal was leaking.
Yes, it's building up.
Yeah, exactly. So because it was fitted and there was no way for the oil to get out, it's just splattered all over the inside of the timing case and contaminated the belt, which obviously I'm changing anyway.
I can't make the belt slip if it's
running. If it got soft enough, it probably could skip a tooth.
It's not ideal, is it?
Really isn't ideal.
No.
That said, it's partly my fault. I should have probably ordered a front crankshaft seal because if you're in there doing the belt, you kind of might as well change it.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
I have done just the belts before and not changed them if they're not leaking, but this one looks like it's been leaking for quite a long time. So I had to come in out of the cold and have a cup of tea, which was a real shame, as you can imagine.
Better to get it done properly, though.
Well, exactly. I wasn't going to put a new belt on where it was going to get contaminated with dirty old engine oil and you know, want doing again very soon. However, in credit to whoever did the belt before, they'd put copper grease on all of the long bolts that passed through the timing case into the front of the engine and through the water pump, which is often a problem when you go to do those belts because the bolts are so long and because they pass through a water jacket, they snap.
So they've helped you out?
Big time, yeah. That's nice. Saved me a lot of problems and a lot of swearing, so I was very happy to see that. But yeah, no, that was my morning today. It was a chilly old day on the driveway, but
it was cold. Yeah, and now it's chucking it down outside.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable out there, isn't it? But
good job we're going to be indoors drinking beer in about what, an hour?
Probably
that?
Yeah, it will be about an hour. I forgot to bring a jacket, so I'll be wearing. You might have noticed, Steve.
I did notice your camel trophy.
I've got my camel trophy adventure wear.
Very nice. Yeah,
quarter zip pullover thing on that I bought in the auction at CT45, which incidentally you can read all about in the latest issue of Land Rover Monthly, on sale now.
Yeah, it does look good, that feature.
Yes, very, very pleased. Nick Dimbleby kind enough to supply the images for that, and everyone knows Nick Dimbleby can take a picture. He knows his way around a camera. So yeah, big up Nick, thank you for that. Really, really good. And it was a cracking weekend, as I've already said before on this very podcast. But no, if you want to read about how it panned out and all the exciting activities we got up to, buy the latest issue of Land Rover Monthly, which is on sale now.
Good. And we're fast approaching Christmas. I just wonder what people are getting Christmas-wise.
Yeah.
Like
Land Rover related.
Land Rover related. Yeah, we spoke about this last year, didn't we? But
yeah, we did a bit of a gift guide last year.
You know, I saw earlier that came up on my... Like, you know these sponsored ads you get?
Yeah.
I thought about you, but it wasn't quite right. It looked like a stack of four tyres. It was a candle and it was burning, but they weren't XCLs.
Oh, I'm not interested then.
No, they look like sort of...
I think
it was a Land Rover tread pattern.
They're sold as... I've seen the same advert. Yeah. I think they're sold as Firestone Sats.
Yeah, they looked a bit Firestone Sat-y.
To me, though, what would make that candle better is if you lit it and like acrid black rubber smoke came out of it.
Because that would be brilliant.
More realistic than like if you were burning a
just
stack
burning
of
burning a scented candle. Yeah. I thought that was quite nice.
It's quite cool. It's quite imaginative.
Obviously, we are their target market because we've both had the same sponsored ad.
It's safe to say.
Yeah.
They saw us coming. The algorithm knew exactly what it was doing.
Need to sport it, though.
No, not yet.
Had they been XCLs, that would have been like a purchase.
That would be going straight.
A purchase would have been made.
Straight in my basket. Oh, I have to say a quick thank you to the Series 123 Club, who kindly, in their first edition of their magazine, their club magazine, which is fantastic, by the way. You should definitely check it out.
I saw that come up on Facebook.
Called Mixed Grills.
Yeah.
Excellent name.
Yeah.
Gave us a nice little news piece about our podcast. So thank you to Richard Allen and the other guys behind that mag. Absolutely cracking.
So that was their first issue of so they're producing one monthly magazine, bi-monthly?
I think it's quarterly.
It does look good.
It's got lots of stuff in it.
Have you got a copy?
Digital one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to share it. I would like to see that.
Yes, I will. I'll definitely share it with you. No, it's really good. And it's nice to see a proper... I love a good club mag. Do you know what I mean?
I know. There's some cracking like content there that you don't see anywhere else.
Because
bespoke to those guys or...
Yeah, it's very different, obviously, to Land Rover Monthly because it's a club mag, but it's really, really good. There's some really great stuff in there. So if you've got a series Land Rover and you want to be in a club which is friendly and welcoming, it doesn't matter what you drive, whether it's standard, modified, hit them up, Series 123 Club. They've got reps all over the country. So, yeah, well worth a look. I've been to a few of their events and always really good fun.
I'd go, but I'd just have a Series 1, 2 or 3.
That's all right. Coilers are welcome as well.
Oh, they
just have to park in the corner.
Okay.
Yeah, so. But yeah, it was good fun. I need to use Series 3 a bit more. It's going to be on Christmas tree collection duty tomorrow.
Oh, right. Okay. Real Christmas tree.
Yeah. My wife, bless her, she will have nothing less than a real Christmas tree, much to my displeasure. But there you go.
It's all about the needles, isn't it?
I don't mind the needles too much. It's the needles are a bit of a pain. It's the preparing the tree, trying to find the Christmas tree stand, which inevitably you would have lost from the year before. And then when it comes to getting rid of the tree, cutting it up small enough to fit in the green bin.
Ah, so you do what I do, right? Oh, I've twice I've done this. So buy one with roots and then plant it in the garden.
Celebrate Christmas with Land Rover Monthly. Everything a Land Rover enthusiast could wish for. From thrilling adventures and expert tips to restoration guides and buying advice and so much more. And this Christmas, take out our special subscription offer and receive an exclusive limited edition Land Rover Monthly die-cast car set. The perfect gift for you or your loved one. But be quick, only a limited number are available. Subscribe with this great offer today at landrovermonthly.co.uk. UK offer only while stocks last.
Yeah, I've got one that was about, I don't know, it's quite small because I live in like a cottage, so I didn't want a massive one. So it's about 4 foot tall. And what, 4 years later, it's in the garden. It's now probably, I don't know, 12 to 15 feet tall.
So you're going to dig that up and put it in your lounge?
No.
Well then.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool, man. And it's like, yeah, that tree's done its job, but it hasn't gone to waste. It's back in the, it's in the garden now.
Yeah, I kind of do see the appeal of reusing a tree.
If I had like an acre of ground, I would fill it with Christmas trees. I love Christmas trees.
Really?
I like Christmas tree plantations, yeah. I think it's brilliant.
You do know that they exist, so they get dug up and used as people's Christmas trees.
Yeah, but it's just a nice thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. But that'll be, no doubt, yeah, like I say, be sparking it. Actually, I've been using, much to my... I probably shouldn't have done, but I've been using the Series 3 as a bit of a skip. Because it's an open pickup at the moment. I've got scrap in there. There's an old pallet in there. I've got... a big sheet of plasterboard in there. It's a bit...
Oh, in this weather, that's going to be delightful.
Oh, it's very soggy. Yeah. It's a bit of a mess, so I need to do a tip run first, get rid of all that, and then we're going to go straight from the tip to our local Christmas tree selling place, which is a nice little farm, pick up a Christmas tree and drive home.
I know what else we can add to this podcast before we finally wrap up and go and get some...
My mouth is dry.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's definitely time for a pint, but... This is going out, and in 2 days from this going out on the Wednesday, no, the very next day, in fact, from this going out, we're down at Newbury Showground.
Yes.
Building.
Are we not there on the Wednesday?
Well, we are on the Wednesday night, yeah, but we're starting on Thursday and Friday building a focus.
Oh, I thought we were there Wednesday, Thursday.
No.
Oh.
Wednesday and Thursday night for Thursday and Friday day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. My calendar misunderstandings aside, we are going, as Steve says, to prepare a very special off-road course for LRM Fest in July.
That's quite exciting to start with like a wooded area and go, and we've got a digger and a digger driver. And
we're going to let our minds run
wild.
Yeah,
we're going to, and then we'll take our Land Rovers, aren't we? So that'll be me, you, and Neil
Cummins
from Land Rover Life. And we'll probably do some Facebook Live, shall we?
We will
on Friday.
We will definitely report on our work. A bit of site prep. It will be very exciting. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of brush clearing, a bit of digging. We're going to modify it slightly. We're going to dig some holes. We're going to probably get stuck, hopefully not put anything
the
on
the site. The bit I'm excited about is the elephant footprints.
Yes.
Who doesn't love them?
A bit of an axle twister.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see how extreme we can make it. We want it to be entertaining, don't we?
Yeah, we want it to be extreme, but we want it so that if anyone wants to drive it in a 302, They could.
The Freelander 2 is the most unstoppable off-road vehicle on the market, so that won't be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Don't bring your Volvo XCs.
No, that would get beached. You'd be very comfortable while you were stuck, though.
Yeah, and warm.
Yeah. But no, I'm really, really excited for that, especially now I know what day it is. So,
good job. Look at your diary.
I've got it in my diary, but it was in for Wednesday, Thursday. But
yeah, you were away Wednesday and Thursday night.
Okay.
Because obviously it gets dark at about 3, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
We haven't got like many hours of
late at this time of year.
So we've got to crack on first thing and on the Thursday.
No, it'd be good.
Good fun.
Yeah. Drive down there in the old Series 3. Neil's going to bring his 2A.
I'm not sure if our expenses can run to you running a V8 all the way to Newbury.
Well, like it or lump it.
Okay.
That's what's coming, so deal with it. No, it'd be good. I'm really excited about that. And we'll get the lay of the land for all the other fun stuff that we've got planned for LRM Fest.
Yeah, well, we get to go around the site and we'll work out.
There's serious stuff happening.
We had a meeting yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, there's a lot booked that I didn't even know about.
No.
I'm buzzing. It's going to be so good.
It's mental.
I hope you're not expecting too much from me over that weekend because I'm going to be having a great time.
Hang on a minute. That's the face of LRM. You know, you do have your responsibilities to drink beer and socialise with podcast listeners.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, podcast live's happening.
We're going to do that, aren't we? Because we've got a few people lined up.
Some of your favourite Land Rover personalities will be joining us for party time across the weekend. So keep an eye on the socials to see who will be coming along to say hello and give out things and sell things and make a good weekend of it.
We'll be unveiling a lot more in a new year.
Yes.
Because at the moment it's very much in the organising.
We're in the building stage.
Very much in the building stage, but
rest assured,
from the new year onwards, all you'll see is the additions that we're putting in.
Yeah.
All up until the event.
It's going to be non-stop.
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah. So,
and not forgetting Land Rover Monthly Live at Malvern.
No.
Still we've had a couple of people ask, actually.
Come into that.
If that's still happening, because we've got Fest.
Fest as well.
No, we've got LRM Live in Malvern.
It's absolutely still happening. Yeah.
And
full speed ahead on that as well.
Yeah.
That's...
But we'll do another rundown of all the events to remind people over the Christmas period.
Definitely.
Next year's events, just to remind, February, for example, we're at Malvern, because we've got the restoration, British Restoration Hall, and all the other stuff. And I've organised some stuff for that today as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, serious. It's going to be a wicked year. I'm so excited for next year. And on the subject of that, if you haven't already got your January issue of Land Rover Monthly, for crying out loud, go and buy it, because you get Land Rover Monthly, Land Rover Life, which has got a huge buying Land Rover guide in it. Land Rover buying guide. I definitely could have phrased that better. I haven't even had a pint yet.
That's the problem.
Yeah, probably. And most importantly, the calendar with all of our events already marked in it. And of course, stunning Land Rover images for you to hang on your wall. So run out now and get one. And if you can't find it in shops or you can't be bothered to go to the shop, go on our website and either...
You can order a single issue.
Order one, even better, sign up for a subscription, and you could even still take... There's a few left. The model sets are gone quickly, but there's a few left. If you're quick, you can grab one still.
Oh, the limited edition model sets. Yeah. Once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah, that's it. There's going to be no more, and I'm sure that our marketing lady will ask for mine back, but I'm keeping it.
She doesn't have mine back either.
No, exactly.
That's... Not that I've got number 131, I think I've got.
So there's actually 248, not 250.
Which one is yours?
133.
Oh, I think mine's 131.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just chosen at random.
Oh, John. GWAC John, who's going to be at LRM Fest, by the way. He messaged the other day. He was quite annoyed because he took out a fresh subscription to get the model set, and he really wanted number 69 for some reason, but he didn't get it. So.
Okay.
Sorry, John.
Someone might.
Maybe next
Someone
time.
Might have it.
Maybe. Someone might have already got it.
Yeah, but that's Chris O'Reilly's number, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the Santana Trophy truck.
Yes, that was number 69.
I don't know why people keep choosing that.
I mean, now, if we were down with a kid, 6-7 is the number, isn't it?
I don't... Yeah.
Anyway, there'll be kids listening to this know exactly what I mean by 6-7.
There'll be kids sat in the back of cars really annoying their parents now.
6-7,
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Number 6-7 might be available.
Back when I was in school, it was all yo-yos and... Tamagotchis and stuff.
Yeah, we had Conkers.
Conkers. Did you have a wooden hoop with a stick that you'd run along with as well?
That wasn't wooden, it was metal.
Oh, really?
It's like galvanised.
You didn't have a...
No, we didn't. That's like a Victorian.
Penny farthings.
That was like Victorian. Do you go to Beamish up in the northeast?
Front wheel drive bike of choice.
Beamish is a fantastic museum. You've not been, have you?
No, never.
Right, so Beamish has an old fashioned school and they've got that exact game with the rings and the stick.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite good at it.
So it's like looking back at your childhood.
Yeah. What in the coal mines today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to school before conkers on strings were banned. So they're banned now.
Banned?
Really? You're not allowed to play conkers at school anymore.
That's ridiculous.
In case someone gets like a piece of conker in their eye or gets knocked on the head.
Madness.
Yeah. Health and safety has gone mad.
I don't believe it.
Mm.
Anyway, health and safety.
Note, yeah.
Health and safety. Yeah. A lot to be said for it. Oh, exciting news, actually.
Hang on, I thought we were going.
We are in a sec.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to do a quick update on my, obviously when I was doing the cam belt earlier, I had to try out my new impact gun.
Did it undo the bolt?
It did.
Good.
I wouldn't say it did it. It made light work of it. It took a bit of doing, but it did get the bolt out. It was very
must have been tight.
It was very, do you know what? You know, I said about the bolts all being copper greased and that. I think whoever did it last time really did do it all by the book, and that would have been torqued up to an incredibly high torque. So, yeah.
You don't know what the setting is for that.
Not off the top of my head. Yeah, I've got the torque, 200 TDI torque settings in the garage, but I don't know what they are.
Mm.
But yeah, it did it. So very good. Very, very happy and excited to keep on using it. See how I get on.
I think I might need a new torque wrench.
What I need, and this is a bit of a rare thing to find now, I've had real trouble getting hold of one, is a torque wrench with a needle. You know, the old type beam type torque wrenches they're called. So you put it on the fixing and you move it and it's got like a long needle which points at a counter. It doesn't click.
Like, okay.
Do you know the type I mean?
I think I do.
It's got like a half moon dial on it or gauge and the needle moves on the dial and points at the torque figure that you're at.
Why is that better?
Well, it's not better, but I need it really for setting the tensioner on the 200 TDI because it has a manual belt tensioner. You're supposed to torque it to, I think it's 10 Newton meters or something like that. 8 possibly, but you can't do it with a click type one. You need to do it with this. You gradually add tension to it and it points when you're at the correct torque and then you tighten up the bolt.
Oh, I see.
Do you see what I mean?
It's adding, yeah.
So yeah, if anyone's got any leads as to where I might be able to get one for not horrendous money, that would be very helpful.
Sounds like the 1960s. Swinish should have got...
Honestly.
Is it old school, is it?
Yeah, really. Yeah. If you go on eBay, there's a lot of like vintage ones, but you don't know.
But then is it accurate?
This is it. You'd like to think it couldn't really go out of calibration because you're literally bending a piece of metal to set the torque, but I don't know. But old tools are cool, though. I like looking at old tools. And the best place to find old tools is at one of our auto jumbles because there's always people selling...
Matt, there's stuff everywhere.
Trays of vintage stuff.
Yeah. Old spanners and... Just mad array of stuff.
And I should have kept an eye out for one of the ones in October.
But you only had to wait till February. Not long.
I want it done now. Things in bits.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't you do it with a digital one?
Well, I haven't got a digital one.
Would that work, though?
It would work, I think. They're very expensive.
Okay.
So.
See, my torque wrench came from... I've owned it for years, and it came from... I didn't buy it, but it came from middle aisle of a budget supermarket.
Oh, it must be very, very accurate.
I'm sure it is. I mean, it's...
You're better off using it as a hammer, I would think, than a torque wrench.
Well, we've done some jobs with it.
Okay.
Well, it does have a little sticker on it saying it's certified.
Great.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Well, on that bombshell.
Yeah. Anyway.
What actually possessed you to buy one from a discount supermarket?
It was given to me as a Christmas gift from somebody that didn't like me very much.
Was it like Secret Santa with a limit of 20 quid?
My ex-father-in-law.
Oh.
Well, he wasn't really my father-in-law.
Say no more.
But it was my partner's dad at the time. Got me it. Very, very, you know, he did think about what would I want, or what he thought I would want, and he found it in Aldi.
You sound awfully ungrateful, but what I always find with tools and anything like that is, if I'm going to go out and buy something that I know I need, I'll buy the best quality I can afford.
Yeah.
So when you get bought something and you're like,
thanks. But it's kind of like...
This is not going to be used.
Yeah, don't buy cheap tools.
Or do buy them if you're going to modify them or cut them up or whatever.
Yeah, you can't really cut this thing. You know, You've used my Toyota Wrench before.
Right. I can't remember.
Yeah. But again, I will double check with a proper Toyota Wrench, everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Toyota Wrench is a pretty vital piece of equipment, so it's probably best to make sure you have got one that's accurate.
Yeah.
But
I might just chuck it in the scrap pile and just start again.
Potentially. Anyway,
he's probably 15
years. I mean, he ain't going to care, is he?
He's actually dead now.
Oh, he certainly ain't going to care, is he? He'll be rolling in his grave going, Steve's thrown my torque wrench away.
I don't know. Anyway.
Crikey, on that bombshell, shall we go and...
Let's go and drink some beer.
Have some pints and celebrate Chris's 40th birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
Good old boy, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Going to see all our friends.
Mm.
Cool. Right, well...
Convert some non-Land Rover people into Land Rover people.
Bore them. You know that meme where the bloke's talking to the girl and the look on her face is total disinterest? That will be what it will be like later, but everyone who isn't into Land Rovers will be the girl and will be the person who's been really boring.
Mm, like normal.
Quite a difficult thing to... anyway. Right, I definitely need a drink. I'm very, very thirsty.
I need to bring a good party shirt on.
Yeah, I need to get rid of... Unfortunately, my Camel Trophy adventure...
You could go out in that, to be fair.
I've got to wear this as an outer layer because I didn't bring a jacket.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn up with one life livid down my arm. It was funny, actually. We went to the shops a while ago. Me and my wife went. We were running some errands and that. And I put this on and I was really pleased with it. I thought, God, considering this is probably from like the late 90s, it's barely worn and like... I like the design of it.
It looks quite modern, I thought.
And I thought, you know, with the little Camel Trophy thing on the chest, I thought it was quite subtle branding. And she turns to me and she goes, you do know it says One Life Live It down the arm, don't you? And I was like,
you didn't genuinely
hadn't even
clicked. Okay.
But I like it still.
Yeah, no, it looks good. I didn't notice it said that, to be honest.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right, well, we've got beer to drink. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Land Rover Martin, Steve Miller Automotive, Land Rover Monthly. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Sign up to the newsletter so you too can make terrible financial decisions based on the marketplace listings that we send you. It's very easy to do. Head to landrovermonthly.co.uk, click on the newsletter link and put in your email address. It really is that easy. Buy the January issue because it's packed with great stuff. You get Land Rover Monthly, Land Rover Life and the calendar for a fantastic price. And if you can't be bothered to go to the shop, go on the website and get a subscription because I promise you this, it's 100% worth it.
Yeah. Go. Let's go.
There you go. Right. Yeah. We've got a bit to drink. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye for now.